for, oh, I don't know, a year or a little bit more than that of setting up the microphone for Pastor Carter. And I used to watch Brother Ogden do it, and it didn't matter what you did. It could be perfect. And I think it's just, I don't know if it's a nervous habit or if he just wants to be the final one to say, this is the way I want it. But I used to get a kick out of that. So when Brother Burt came along, I every week I just sit back and say, it's not me trying to do it this time. But anyway, I appreciate Brother Perkins waiting until the very last minute to tell you who was going to be up here, and the doors were already closed by then, so that was good. But Brother Perkins told me yesterday that he'd had a little trouble and wasn't sure. He said, if I'm not in the hospital, I might be there, might be able to do the announcements, might not. So I had something in my back pocket just in case, and you drove a bus this morning too, didn't you? So I thought I was going to have to drive a bus this morning, but Brother Hutchison showed up, so I didn't have to drive the bus, went on a bus route, but I wasn't the one to drive it, which in a way that's good, but then I had to lead a program, so that gives me that just much more. So we used to come in here, I used to come in here for the song leading for a preacher's class, and you know how it is, sometimes things are just unpredictable with the bus route schedule, and there were times I'd be pulling in here at like 9:55, and I still had to park the bus and get the kids off it and everything, and I thought, man, I hope preacher doesn't get too upset. But as far as I know, I never one time had him up here ready to start looking around wondering where I was. So by the grace of God, we survived that until we got a new permanent guy in here doing that. So I appreciate Brother Burt taking that off of... I enjoyed doing it. I really did. I felt like it was kind of one more point of contact I had. The ministry that I have here, for those, most of you kind of know who I am and what I do here, but I do the Landmark curriculum. So I don't have a whole lot of front interaction with a lot of the church people involved in enough other things and choir and whatnot, but I do, I did enjoy when I was doing that for a while, doing the song leading here in class, that I felt like there were just more church people that kind of knew who I was and that I kind of had a chance to see their faces and expressions and kind of feel like I was, you know, a little bit more like my own Sunday school class, you know, these are people that I go to church with every Sunday. And they seem like nice people, so I'm glad that they do that. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 10 this morning. Book of Luke chapter 10. And towards the very end of the chapter, there looks like 5 verses if I'm counting them right. It's back to school Sunday. We're not going to do a whole lot of math or anything, but I did look at 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, and I thought that would be 5. So I think I'm right. We sang a couple of ABC songs and 1, 2, 3 songs on a bus this morning to celebrate back to school. And I told the kids that this is being back to school Sunday, we're going to have a special gift, a school-related thing. And I said, I can't remember if this was the year that they were going to do the iPads or the crayons. I couldn't remember, but it was going to be something that they'd be able to use in school. And so I think most of them are not expecting anything other than a crayon or a protractor or something like that. But I'm in Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 38. And I'll tell you this, even before Brother Perkins asked me to have something on standby, I had already been thinking about this coming into the week. We have had back to school for everybody, whether you're a parent or a teacher or one of the school administrators, teachers, office people, or whatever. It's just a crazy, hectic, just unbelievable, so much in such a short period of time that all has to come together. And you can't just pace yourself. You've got to pull out all the stops. You've got to squeeze more drops out than you had to start with in order to pull it off. And in my department, we use some of our material in the schools here. And so there was a lot of last minute things that we did special for the school. So we were busy with some extra printing and things like that and just trying to accommodate everybody. Plus it's our busy sales season at curriculum because all the homeschoolers and the smaller church schools that use our material have been, you know, this is when all the orders come pouring in. We have most of our annual sales come in about an 8-10 week period. And so we just have crazy, crazy, crazy busy. And Friday, things worked out where I had worked double shifts for a couple of weeks, just, you know, really I'd you know, just almost stupid, you know. If I would have figured out how much I was making paid per hour, I probably would get him in trouble. But I did, and I was pretty pleased that we were able to, you know, I felt like I had some goals that I said, this isn't realistic, but if I can get all this stuff done by Friday, you know, I'll at least feel like things will be okay. And by the grace of God, most of it was done Thursday. And so Friday, I was able to actually just to mop up the other things that had been neglected for several weeks because of the special push that we've had. But I said to myself Friday evening, just for the first time, I thought, you know, what do I need to do? I mean, some of my own stuff that's been neglected forever that maybe I can just get to do a couple of my own little projects and things like that. And as I was just kind of thinking, my schedule has just been completely... There's no flexibility in it whatsoever. You've got to work efficiently every single moment of every single day, or you just, things that are need to get done aren't going to get done. And I'm thankful that I have the opportunity and the ability and the strength to be able to push hard and to be able to accomplish a lot. But it just kind of bowled over me. We say, and when we started a couple of, we started one church and then took a couple of other churches that were just about ready to close down. And that was kind of the ministries that we've had before we came to Landmark. And we used to say that we just felt like we were living our whole lives with a Mack truck chasing us. And a vacation for us was stopping long enough for that truck to run over us and know what it felt like if we would have stopped sooner. And so that's kind of where we were feeling right now. And of course, there's the anticipation with school. For many of us, the school's just getting ready to start. The real work is just getting ready to start happening, you know, tomorrow at this time with all of the things, oh, we thought we had thought about that, and this monkey wrench got thrown in it, and we need to figure out what to do about this at the last minute. And just so many things, and even the things that we're prepared for and planned for involve so much stuff, and you just really got to be on your game constantly. But the thought that I had at some point, really probably into Friday afternoon, I just kind of stopped and sat down and I went, and I thought, I don't remember the last time I did that. It had been several weeks before I'd even exhaled, you know. And I just, I said in my heart, I said, you know what, I think I need to be a little bit less Martha and a little bit more Mary for a while. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So let's go ahead and look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now we're going to not really go to a lot of other places of Scripture. This is really the main place in the Gospels where this particular part of this story is told. And it's a very famous passage for us to say, and you, before I get to reading it, you know what this teaches. It teaches that as important as it is to work hard, it's more important to worship the Lord. It's more important to do things with Him and to love Him than it is to just do things for Him. And so, but Martha is usually the one that we think of as the one who was just so frantic and so anxious, and she was worried about her meal boiling over in the kitchen, and she got frustrated because Mary wasn't helping her. And we'll talk a little bit about that. We may see a couple of other places in the Bible where it mentions again this family, particularly these two sisters, and a couple of other stories if we have time to get to it. But the main thing, Martha gets the bad rap a lot as being the one that Jesus scolded. In fact, let me just go ahead and read through this, because this may be the first time you've ever heard this story and you're just acting like you've heard it before, right? So let me just go ahead and read through it, and then I'll just back up a little bit and pick through it. So I'll start again at verse 38. It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, of course talking about Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, I'm going to go ahead and finish this. But Martha, verse 40, was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. In verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let me go ahead and pray, and then we'll get right into a lesson. Lord, thank you this morning again for the opportunity to handle your word, and I pray that you'd help me to do it carefully and reverently and wisely, and I just pray that I would be yielded to you and that you'd be able to overcome the shortcomings that I would have, and I just pray that you would use this willing vessel to be able to transfer a truth from heaven this morning into the heart of maybe the one who needs it the most today. And we just love you and thank you so much for the opportunity, even this now on a Sunday morning, with all the machinery going around here with Landmark Baptist Church and all that it is. Right now we're just sitting and we're just listening to you, and that's what we'd like to do for the next little bit. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me just tell you another very familiar story, just long enough to make a point. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of the prodigal son. And you say, what does a prodigal son have to do with Mary and Martha? Well, just this very quickly, our stereotype of the prodigal son is the bum that ran away from home, finally got his act together and came to himself and came home, and it demonstrated the love of the father being willing to take back the one who had run away and done wrong. And at the end of the story, the son who had stayed home was out in the field pouting and didn't want to come to the party and said, you never threw a party for me. And that's where we usually leave that story, where sure, the kid shouldn't have run away, but at the end of the story, he was the one who had the party and he was doing great. And then the little Pharisee, in fact, I think even some of the reference Bibles say this brother was acting like a Pharisee in the footnotes. You know, well, okay, I know that there's a true point that can be made from that, and I've probably said that and thought that myself, and I've been encouraged not to act that way. If I see somebody who has strayed away come back, I want to rejoice with them that they were restored. I get all that, but sometimes I think that we don't give the son that stayed home enough credit either. We want to just automatically criticize him as being the one who didn't have a good attitude when the one who had struggled decided to get right with God. And you know, you can look at a story like that and glean a truth from all different angles. That's one of the things I like about the Gospels. You've got different angles of people who saw the same things, experienced, they knew the same story, but one of them was a physician, they were different types of people, so they looked at a part of Jesus as, you know, one of them had been a tax collector, so he understood the authority and the kingly part of what Jesus was. And you know, the servant and all that. You understand how the Gospels come together to just give you a good multifaceted picture of the ministry of Christ. So looking at the story of the prodigal son, the only reason I bring that up is that we're so easy to say, especially at the end of the story, the son who got right with God represents us, because when we sin and when we stray, we can come back and we should come back, and God's going to be happy to see us, and there's always going to be some sourpuss around that says, yeah, I didn't do anything wrong, I'm better than he is. And so if that's the way you take that story, that's fine. But I do just like to look at that story and say, wait a minute, what if I would have been that other boy? What would I have felt like, you know? And I do think that there's something to be said for somebody who did not go astray, somebody who did stay faithful, somebody who was pulling twice to the load for the one who was gone being a bum. And so that's what Martha was thinking about Mary. When Jesus came in, here's the normal way we look at this story. Jesus comes into the house and Martha's like, oh, I gotta get everything ready. And she's just running around like crazy. And she's in the kitchen. I always just picture her in the kitchen with something boiling over. And maybe the Bible says that someplace, but that's a mental image that I've had since I was a kid. Maybe that's what I saw in VeggieTales or something. I don't remember that. Because it does say in verse 40 that Martha was a cucumber. You see that? And so it says Martha was cumbered about much serving, so I'm sure that's what that meant in the original. But Mary was just one who was just kind of like, well, I don't really feel like doing anything. I think I'm just going to kind of lay down on the floor and look up at Jesus and smile at him and say, yeah, I'm glad you're here. You know, and we think sometimes that Mary was just the lazy one. And it kind of startles us when we read the story and we say, Martha's doing the right thing. She's busy serving God. She wants everything to be just right. And she complained to Jesus and said, Jesus, no wonder I'm having such a hard time staying caught up. Look what she's doing. She's just laying up here looking at you, listening to you talk. Why don't you tell her to get in the kitchen and help me? And Jesus as much as said, why don't I tell her to tell you to come in here and leave the stuff to burn in the kitchen so you can do the most important thing? You see, I think that you should be able to do both things. I think that you should be able to pull out your stops when it comes to how much you're willing to give God. I think you should serve the Lord with all your strength. I think whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I think we should be hardworking people. I think that it's a Christ-like thing to have a good work ethic and try to accomplish something with your life and not just be somebody lazy whose life is defined by... Yesterday, I knocked on a door and it was afternoon. It was probably 12 afternoon. I knocked on a door. A guy came to the door and he looked like, I don't know if any of you remember the TV show Grizzly Adams. He looked like Grizzly Adams without a bath. That's what this guy looked like. And he came to the door and the first thing he said to me was, "I wasn't sleeping, I'm awake." And the kid that I was there visiting was a teenager. Didn't ride the bus today, now that I think about it. But he was laying on a couch and he was sound asleep, dead to the world. And sometimes that's what we picture when we think about Mary, is just somebody who didn't do much of anything. Well, let me just back up. I've kind of already jumped ahead on purpose just to kind of let you know where I'm coming from with this story. In my own personal experience, and I found that sometimes when something dawns on me where I am as a Christian, that a lot of times that means that somebody else is kind of struggling with the same thing at the same time. And so that's why I thought I would just go ahead and take this story this morning, and just real quickly I blew through it. But I'm going to go through it again and just pick it a little bit more like a Sunday school lesson and just look at some of the details in here. And I'll be honest with you, the reason I told you the story about the prodigal son is I'm going to get Martha a little bit more credit than we usually give her because of what she was actually doing. And it's very easy for us to say, well, look at the last verse. The last two verses, Jesus, I always took that as a scolding. He said, "Martha, you are just all in a tizzy about all these things that you think need to be done, and you are neglecting to do the thing that cannot be left undone." And Mary has chosen that good part. So Jesus himself was the one who said, at the end of this story, "Martha, I need to correct you on something, and I need to praise Mary for something." So that is the main teaching of this. I think it always should be that we, whatever we do, whether you work hard for God or whether you don't work hard for God, if all you do is decide whether or not you're going to wipe his feet with your tears, I don't think I would be able to wash his feet with my hair like Mary did. But you know what I mean. When we talk about sitting at Jesus' feet, we're adoring him. We're worshiping him. Even at bus breakfast yesterday, I just happened to. Sometimes if you're in the right line of vision, when preacher's like, "Well, let's see," and you know how that happens. He's just looking for somebody to pray, and I just must have happened to been right in the right, you know, on the crosshairs there. So he said, "Brother Matt, why don't you go ahead and lead a prayer?" And I already must have had that on my heart. And so even before I said anything about blessing the food, I just started saying, you know, let everything we do today just be that you're the big deal. Let us, even if we weren't going on our bus route, let us take you with us wherever we're going, whatever we're doing. Let's just say that the work that we're doing for you is not our way to prove to you how much we love you. Let us just love you so much that whatever else we were doing, the main thing we're doing it with you, while we're talking with you, while we're worshiping you, while we're loving you, while we are abiding in you. Whatever else we're doing is fine. But if we couldn't do anything else, that's the one thing that we cannot neglect. That's one thing that we cannot not do. We sing the song on a bus, you know, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And if you neglect your Bible or forget your Bible, whatever version of that song you use, don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink. You know? I'm not going to sing it right now, but it's a good song. And so Martha, I've kind of rambled just enough to let you know where I'm coming from. Now I'm going to go through, like I promised to do a couple minutes ago, and just go through these verses a little bit at a time. So let's look at verse 38. "It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village." Now, I want you to notice this. A certain woman received him into her house. So who was the one who, when Jesus came into that town, who was it that ran out and got his attention and said, "Come into my house"? It was Martha. Martha was the one who had made the attempt to contact Jesus. I don't know what her motives were. And again, sometimes when you do this type of Bible study, you can easily put some of your own thoughts and some of your own image. But the Bible does say that Martha received him into her house. Did she know that he was coming and she was planning to be there to catch him and to invite him in? Or was it just a fluke? Was she out there just throwing the dirty water out and happened to see him there? I don't know exactly all what happened, but Mary was not the one who said, "Jesus, will you come into our house?" It was Martha that did that. And again, I'm going to agree with Jesus by the end of this. Mary made the best choice in that particular scenario by the time the story was done. So I'm not going to trash on Mary at all. I started out by saying I need more Mary and less Martha for just even for a few days. Now Martha's got to come back, otherwise there's not going to be anything for the rest of us to eat, right? And so we've got to have a good balance of these things in our lives. But Martha illustrates the work and the busyness and the care full of our lives that is necessary. See, we think sometimes that what Martha did wasn't necessary and what Mary did was necessary. The truth is, Jesus didn't say that your work is not needful, but he said that one thing is needful, and she hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So I don't think he had to detract from the good works that Martha was doing in order to make the point that if you can't do both, let the dishes pile up and spend some time with God. If you can't do both, leave a few papers in your tray. They'll still be there Monday. If it's that or not, spend time with God. The best thing, the thing that is the one needful thing, is your walk with God. And so that's where we've got to remember. So the first point I make here is that Martha was the one who invited him in. Now let's look at verse 39. No, okay, I'm just going to do a real simple word study. I may be off base here, but when something like this jumps out at you, I don't mind it saying that I might be wrong about it. But let's look at this, look at a couple words here. I'm in verse 39. Okay, you know, first we know Jesus came into the village, Martha invited him in. Verse 39, and she had a sister, so she being Martha, of course, had a sister called Mary. Now I want then you see the word witch talking, not that Mary was a witch, but she might have been. I didn't know her well, but look at the word after the word witch. What did Mary do? She had a sister called Mary, which also. So did that mean that she was her sister? And also, beside the fact that she was her sister, that she was sitting at Jesus' feet? Or would that mean that by that time Martha was sitting by Jesus' feet? Look at the verse again now that I've said that and see if you can picture that. Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Now again, it's been so many years since I've actually had to exegete something, I don't even know if I could pronounce the word anymore. But I do think just using English, analyzing what it says here, it could be that Martha said, "Come into the house, and I want to sit at your feet and worship you. And I've got a sister named Mary, and she's also sitting at your feet and listening to you." But at some point, and heard his word. So they were sitting there hearing his word. So that's just a point. Mary, I do know, sat at his feet, and she worshiped and listened. There is a chance, and this is something I could afford to be wrong about. I can't afford to be wrong about who Jesus is. But I could be wrong about the fact that when the word also might actually mean also, like they were both doing it. And that would give me a little bit more credit for Martha, because she started out doing the right thing. If that's true, I do know that Mary was not the one that received him into her house. That was Martha. It says that clearly. But when they got in the house, Martha had a sister which also sat at his feet and heard him. Right? So that's where we are now. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered. Now we used to sing, whenever we would sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," to this day we do this. I was always sitting on a platform, and Amber was usually sitting, you know, down in a crowd someplace, and my wife was almost always playing the piano. Well, whenever we sang that song at home, the last verse that says, "Are we weak and heavy laden," I would always nudge Amber and say, "Cue." And then it was cumbered by a load of care. And so to this day, if we're someplace and we hear that song, we don't say it anymore. We just kind of make eye contact, and she, you know, will, and all of our kids will do that. So see, you're just you can just thank the Lord you didn't grow up in my home, right? My kids do that. And so anyway, Martha was a cucumber, and she asked Jesus to tell Mary to help her in the kitchen, all right? And so that's what it was. She, at some point, since she invited Jesus into the house, said, I didn't invite him in here just so that we could sit and listen to him. I've enjoyed listening to him. I've enjoyed sitting at his feet. I've enjoyed hearing him. But there's some work that needs to be done for him. And it is such a tricky thing sometimes as a Christian. And I think it can get to the point where it's a trick of the devil, where he says, here's somebody who wants to please God. I'm gonna fool them into thinking that if they just work and work and work and work for God, they can become prideful of the work they're doing for God and forget why they're doing it. And Jesus, although a work for him is being done, he's not being glorified by it, because they're getting the credit for doing it and they're forgetting about him while they're doing it. And as Christians, especially if you are the type of Christian who wants to be a busy Christian, you want to be the type of Christian who actually does something and accomplishes something with your life, it's very easy for I hope I can say us in that crowd. I'm somebody who wants to do something for God. But I, as long as I've been doing it, I still frequently have to pull the brakes back and say, wait a minute, Jesus is back there. You know, I've run so far ahead that I'm not doing it with him right now. I'm doing it for him. But I'm not doing it for the right motive. I might be doing the right thing. But it's a very, very interesting study to realize how serving, being cumbered about with much serving. So Martha came to Jesus. So Mary didn't first say, Jesus, Martha is cumbered about by much service. Would you go bid her to come out here and sit at your feet and listen? Mary was minding her own business. Mary didn't care what Martha was doing. But Martha, in her service to God, went in the other room and said, and oh my goodness, can you imagine saying this? We were talking about the disciples on a storm a few weeks ago, saying, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Why would you say that? I mean, to actually physically say that to Jesus in a body, you don't care about me, do you, Jesus? I even saying that, like I just said it in the context of it, kind of scared me. I was like, man, I hope nobody just walked in, that's all they heard, you know? But that's what Martha said. She said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And again, if you were the one in the kitchen, how many times, let's forget Mary and Martha right now, and let's just think about us. How many times have we said, my load would not be so heavy if there weren't a few more people who had a clue about what needs to be done for God? Why are we all spread so thin to minister to people who don't even care to show up half the time? And in the ministry particular, but just anywhere in the Christian life, it is so easy for us to get frustrated thinking, I am working hard. I know I'm doing it for the right reasons. I know I'm doing it for the right motive. I know I've got my head on straight about this. I know I've got the right perspective. I know that I'm doing everything right, but I'm working so hard and I'm neglecting my own family. I'm neglecting my own things that are falling apart. I haven't been able to get to take care of my own lawn because I'm up trying to mow the church lawn. I can't fix my pipe that's leaking because there's a pipe in the church bathroom that's leaking. And then you think, you know, if just one family would come along who would say, preacher, let me help you with that, you know, then everything would be great. Except something else would come up for us to complain about. But I think that's where Martha was then. She just thought, you know what? I could get so much more done for Jesus if I weren't doing it all myself. And I think that kind of like the son who stayed home was thinking like, you know what? All this time that he's been gone devouring his substance and wasting it all and trashing our family name in a far country, how many more evenings would I have been able to gone home and had something else to do other than to finish up his share of the work? And I understand that. I mean, I can somewhat identify with that emotion. But Martha just burst out into the living room and said, Jesus, look at her. Don't you care about this? Look at me. I can just picture, you know, her hair's all sticking out. She's got flour all over herself. Jesus, come on. Why don't you tell her to get off the floor and come in here and help me in the kitchen? And I don't bet, but I kind of suppose or guess that she honestly expected Jesus was going to say, yeah, you're right. Come on, Mary, what is up with this? Get in there and help your sister. She's the only one who really cares about me. She's making sure that everything is right. She's cumbered about with much serving. I think you should be a little bit more cumbered about with serving instead of just sitting here listening. But Jesus just quickly and instinctively said, Martha, Martha. That's why he had to say her name twice. You know, sometimes, like, you know, I say it with your own kids. You call their name once just to get their attention. Then you got to call the name again so that you know they're listening to you. In fact, I won't say. I was going to say that's what my wife calls me sometimes, but Jesus just said, Martha, Martha! Yes, sir? And I think he said this very tenderly. He told her that she was careful. And of course, that word careful is like full of care. It means anxious. It means like be careful for nothing. Don't be so full of your cares that it throws you off base of where you should be spiritually and mentally and emotionally. Keep yourself from care. Don't worry. Don't fret. You're careful and you're troubled. And you can read that both ways. Read it as a compliment and read it as a scolding if you want to. I don't think it's wrong to do work and give your best and do it with all your strength, with all your heart, and with all your might. But the main lesson here in verse 42, he said, but one thing is needful. And there's no other way you can interpret this. Mary hath chosen that good part. I'm not making the case right now as to whether or not Martha had done anything wrong. I'm making the case that Mary was praised for doing the one needful thing. When Jesus addressed Martha and said, thou art careful and troubled about many things, that honestly could have been said as a compliment if he'd have said it right. Mary, look, I know you really are working hard for me. I appreciate the effort and the care that you're putting into trying to make sure that my needs are met. But in all of your busyness, let's just every once in a while stop. And if you realize that when I whisper your name, if it distracts you from what you're doing just a little bit too much the wrong way. I want to be able to hear a still small voice when God says, Bob, I don't want to say, okay, I'll be right with you. I can say that to other people, but I can't say that to him. Most of the time, I try so hard if anybody needs anything or if I think somebody needs something or if they don't even ask me for it, but I want it done, I really work hard to make it happen. But can I do that at the expense of Jesus just wanting me to stop for a minute and look at him and say, you know what, I'm so glad that you're my God. I'm just so glad that whatever else I got going on, I can stop everything and do the one needful thing. Summer's a busy time. It's an unusual schedule. Most of the staff around here is pushed really hard. And so I got 30 seconds. I'll say this. One of my kids, I won't tell you which one it was, but I was talking to him just a couple days ago, and he said, I'm just feeling like I'm just such a vile person. And I thought, oh, man, what did he do? Is he getting into drugs or something like that, you know? And he said, no, he said, I don't even know why I try anymore. I'm just such a lousy Christian. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, didn't he want to tell me? He said, I didn't read my Bible today. And I didn't want to tell him that it had, you know, it hadn't been that long and I had a day like that too. And so, you know, I told him, I didn't tell him. I was able to comfort him without him telling him that I had messed up a couple days too, pretty recently. But what I said was, I said, you know what the devil does? The devil trips you. You land on your face, get a bloody nose, and then he walks around and points his finger and say, somebody who falls like that shouldn't be trying to serve God. I said, God won't tell you that. God will say, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. If your frustrations with serving God and forgetting him happens too often, just remember how gracious and merciful he is. I really think that's what he was telling Martha. I think he was telling her, don't stop running as hard as you're running, but just don't run so hard that you can't do the one most important thing Just why don't you just sit down and look up again also with your sister. Lord, I pray that you bless us now as we prepare for the church service to come. And we do ask that you be with our pastor and give him safety and blessings today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you like for me to do the numbers?